afternoon once again, everyone. I'm Chad Holmes, and welcome back. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. It is Tuesday. Not bad out there throughout much of the day. We've seen a little cloud cover, some sunshine as well. Still a bit below normal temperature-wise. But what can we expect as we get towards the middle portion of the work week? Well, to find out, we have the man with all the answers from weatherology.com, our meteorologist, Ray Miller. And Ray, again, a little bit chillier than normal this time of year, but not bad really out there so far today.
Certainly better than some of the days last week, so we'll take that bit of improvement. We do have cloudy skies across the area, as you mentioned, a few peaks of sunshine from time to time, but as we move a little further into the afternoon, cloud cover becomes a little bit more persistent. We'll have a chance for a couple of isolated showers. Temperatures not moving very much from where they're at now, holding steady in the mid to upper 40s, north wind at 5 to 10. Tonight, a couple of patchy showers, perhaps a snowflake or two. Not much in the way of precipitation, just some very light, spotty activity with a low of 27 degrees. Sunny tomorrow, high of 51 degrees. Still about 10 degrees below average for this time of year. We do warm up a bit on Thursday, but that comes with a chance of showers as a warm front moves through the area. High of 58 degrees with southwest winds at 15 to 30. Showers Friday with a high of 60. And then we cool off heading into the weekend. Still a chance of showers both Saturday and Sunday with highs around 50 degrees. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
As you talk about Thursday through Sunday, you talk about the chance of rain, especially Thursday and Friday. Are you seeing it as a drench, or is it something that is just a possibility at this point? What can we expect in terms of those wet days, perhaps, Thursday and Friday?
It's not going to be a complete washout, but we are going to have a decent chance of rain off and on through both days and then on into the weekend as well. So overall, looks like a pretty consistent soaking rainfall spread out over a couple of days, which really is exactly what we need. That limits any kind of flooding potential and gives us the moisture that we need. So that'll be a really pretty decent setup. It's nice. It'd be nicer if we'd have the warm up with sunshine, but unfortunately, that's not the case. We do get that warm up into the second half of the week and then cooling off again as we head into the weekend as the colder side of that system moves in.
Okay, Ray, well, thank you again for the information, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
See you then. Take care.
And currently at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau, overcast skies, temperature at 46 degrees. The winds are out of the west at 6 miles per hour, wind chill factor of 43. The dew point is 20, relative humidity of 35%. The barometer at 30.19 inches, visibility of 10 miles. Again, I'm Chad Holmes. Time is coming up on 3:10. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking to the school board president in the Wausau School District, Jim Boucher. Also, again, don't forget tomorrow that we'll have a chance to talk to Earl Ingram, a member of our civic media family. We're going to talk a little bit about how issues in one part of the state affect issues in other parts of the state, because Earl hosts a show basically covering the Milwaukee area. We hear a lot about the issues going on in Milwaukee. Sometimes folks say, well, but what does it matter what happens there or what happens here to them? I mean, so we're going to talk a little bit about that and also talk a little bit about what he sees in terms of the news of the day. So Earl Ingram will join us tomorrow at 2:15. Also, real quickly as well, don't forget, coming up later today, once I'm done here, I'll be heading off to a marathon. We will have some high school baseball later on. It's a big one in the Merrowood Conference South Division as the Marathon Red Raiders take on the Stratford Tigers, final two undefeateds in the Merrowood South. You'll be able to hear the game live online only. BullFallsRadio.com and then click on Sports Stream 2. Again, Sports Stream 2 at BullFallsRadio.com. I'll be on at 4:30 for the pregame, 4:45 for the first pitch. That game will also air on a delay basis here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa tonight at 7 o'clock. So again, that's Marathon hosting Stratford, first place in the conference on the line, live online, bullfallsradio.com, Sports Stream 2 starting at 4:30. Rest of the week, sports-wise, on Thursday, high school baseball, Wausau West hosting DC Everest. Those teams will meet over at Everest today. Won't have broadcast of that one, but we'll have them on Thursday. And then on Friday, Newman Catholic against Shawanigan. So we got all of our teams this week. Marathon today, Wausau West on Thursday, and then Newman Catholic coming up on Friday on your home for high school sports with the Red Raiders, the Warriors, and the Cardinals. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We have to take a quick timeout, and then we'll come back and talk to the president of the Wausau School Board, Jim Boucher. That's coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It's the Chad Holmes Home Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And very happy to welcome into studio the president of the Wausau School Board, and great to have you in studio. I had a chance to talk to you a couple of times late last year, but it was over the phone. It's great to sit across and have you come here in person. Jim Boucher, again, thanks for coming on by.
Well, thank you, Chad. I'm happy to be here and to talk with you and to the people in our community and take this opportunity to enjoy one another.
Going to throw a softball to start to get you all nice and comfortable before you start asking the hard questions. But I know you as a former football coach, I guess, what are your thoughts on Rodgers being traded?
You know, of all the things I've been dealing with, I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about that. But, you know, the bottom line is it's amazing how history repeats itself. And to see it come around like it has, I think it's rather fascinating. And I think as Packer fans through and through, we got to make sure that we continue to remember that as we lose him, you know, he did a lot of great things for Green Bay and for us Packer fans, and just as Favre did. And I didn't like it when he left, but it worked out well. I don't like it when Rodgers is leaving now, but it'll come to pass.
And also, real quickly, one other aspect of I think your background as an athletic director and as a coach, I was watching the meeting last night, and you brought up the idea, because here in the Wausau School District, the baseball and softball diamonds are being renovated in terms of adding artificial turf to the infield while keeping regular grass in the outfield, adding some lights as well. The hope being that this will allow more games to be played, because obviously, as we've seen, there have been a lot of postponements. But you actually were asking about that, about being the best way of doing it. I imagine that everything you've done in your life, you kind of use, you bring to the table in a role such as a school board member, school board president. But I found it interesting hearing that conversation, because I, being around it, have been talking about it as well, whether or not having just an infield that is artificial turf while keeping the outfield as regular grass is going to save any games, whether or not, you know, if it's still snow out there or it's wet, the outfield could still be flooded depending on drainage. But I found that to be an interesting discussion. Did you find out what you wanted to find out when you were talking about that?
Well, I know there's been a lot of discussion about that, and I know being in the midst of that as an athletic director and a principal putting synthetic turf down on fields, I've spent a lot of time with that, and I know it's been done both ways. I'm just asking the questions to make sure that everybody has waited out whether this is the way to go or that's the way to go. I'm not in that position to make those types of decisions anymore, except to take a look at asking questions and making sure that the answers have been given for those questions. I know a lot of people think it should be completely done, and then there are other people that believe that, no, it should be just the infield because of the bad bounces you might have. But there's also bad bounces that come off of the infield and into the outfield as well that cause problems. So, you know, I just wanted that to be a discussion point more than anything else. And I know we've talked about it in the past. more at the beginning of this. And I always believe that it's the coaches talking with the athletic directors, talking with the principals, talking with central office, talking about the finances. There's a process that has to be followed, and I just want to make sure that questions are asked and then answered.
It's one of the interesting aspects, though, because things can change, because I know a little bit of the story in Wisconsin Rapids, and I was mentioning the fact that Rapids has a really nice facility now near their high school. I had heard that the initial plan was not for them to have it be completely artificial turf, but they got kind of lucky where they were able to find somebody that was looking to basically unload this turf, got a great price on it, and they were able to get it done. Sometimes you got to be in the right place at the right time and take advantage, I guess, of certain opportunities. I imagine that's something that a board and school districts have to sort of keep an eye on as well.
Well, absolutely. And those are, again, those are questions and answers and things that people will come forward with that situation that Wisconsin Rapids has. So they've got a very nice facility down there. I know that a lot of people have done this rodeo before. So we're very much in tune with the fact that, okay, what's going to be best for Wausau? Mm-hmm. And that's why you always have choices. What's best for our students, our athletes, our people here in the Wausau community?
Again, we're talking to Jim Boucher, the Wausau School Board President, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I spoke earlier in the program about your meeting last night and started off with the organization of the board. And basically, you were reelected as the president. Lance was vice president along the lines. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed there were a lot of people there. And we're not going to go, I think, into all the details. I think folks, as I mentioned earlier, have a chance to read about it, but there's a personnel issue at Wausau East. And we were talking off air, and I'm not going to ask you to, diverge anything that you can't. But in terms of, I think, process, I think a lot of people always want to make sure that processes work, that the right things are being done. Could you maybe talk in a general way? When a situation like this, where there is an issue for whatever reason within a school, whether it could be a student being involved or a teacher being involved or a staff member being involved, what are the most important things that people need to know about a situation like this? Because obviously there was a lot of emotion with the students speaking of it, a community member speaking of it. I just wanted to maybe try to open the shade a little bit in terms of the process. Anything you can share that people really need to know when they're reading about a story like this or worried about a story like this?
Well, I can't talk about this situation at all. But also being the director of Region 5 for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, I've talked about process with other boards and other superintendents, and having been in a superintendent position as well, I've had to deal with these types of things. And it's a very tough situation, but you must follow the legal process. And the legal process is a due process for, let it be for a student discipline or for a staff discipline. Administration takes care of that. And boards need to be neutral and not know all the details. We cannot know the details as school board members, and I've stressed that with other boards when they've called me to ask me questions as the director of Wisconsin Association of School Boards. And I said, you have to stay neutral, and you can't know the details because you become the jury. And that's what we're following, and everybody is following it. Students are learning things through this process. Staff members are learning through this process. That's the process, and we have to be very much aware of statutes and to follow it very carefully. So that's about what I would say. Board members need to be a neutral jury for all practical purposes. We know nothing at this point in time, and we should be kept in that position. That's, again, from a general process point of view.
I said this to you off the air as well. Again, based not anything that's going on with this situation, but seeing the students be involved, I found myself feeling good about that. Mm-hmm. Hearing from the students, I imagine you don't see that a lot at the school board meetings, but everything that you do is about trying to make it for students and their families and the community the best decisions possible, and to see students involved in that way. Did you feel the same in terms of, this is great that they're involved in some way?
Oh, absolutely. And as an ex-teacher for many years, and knowing that you get that connection with students, that's what you're trying to, that's a learning process. And to get students understanding the process and knowing that there are items that have to be put in place before other items can be decided on. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm trying to make sure that I'm very careful about all of these things, right, because we are talking about a process, and that's it.
Let's talk about your position again. We'll talk a bit about updating the consolidation after we take the break. We got a couple of minutes here. Obviously, you decided you want to be the president again, and Lance wanted to be vice. I mean, in terms of what you have found out in this leadership position, what have you found out? Why do you want to keep doing it, as opposed to maybe just, you know, being part of the board, and your strengths involved in, you know, being in this position? How do you feel about, because it was kind of the, you had one new member, obviously, after the election, so it's not a massive change on the board, but your thoughts on the new, I call it the new session of the board after being reorganized. Why did you decide that, hey, I want to continue in this role?
Well, first of all, I'm honored to be on the board. I'm honored to have been voted into this position, just as I'm honored to be voted in the region to be district director for Wisconsin Association of School Boards. It's a matter of giving back to the community, and that's one of the things that any way that I can help, I would like to help our community, and bringing experiences from where I've been in different places, as well as being here for so many years and knowing this community. I just look at it as an honor more than anything else. And if I can serve in any position that's going to help, I go back and take a look at it. I'm honored to be here.
And you said it. You've been a teacher. You've been a coach. You've been an athletic director. You've been an administrator. In terms of this job, any one of those previous positions help you the most in terms of some of the decisions you have to make being a school board member?
Well, I would say as having been a superintendent, I think plays a big part in the fact that I understand where boards should be and what boards' roles are. Sometimes people confuse the fact that school boards are meant to stay in their lane, as administrators need to stay in their lane. And as board members, we have one employee, and that employee is the superintendent of schools. And then he's responsible from that point on hiring the correct people and placing them in the correct place. But we need to be focused on the one employee that we work with, and that is the superintendent. So many times I look at this and just remind myself, as much as I'd like to sometimes be the administrator myself, I'm not the administrator. I'm an elected official in this position to help the administrator move forward. And we need to always think about moving forward. You never stay the same. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. And so we need to focus on how can we get better at what we're doing.
Sounds like an old coach when you say that. We're going to take a quick time out, get a news update, and then come back and talk a little bit more. We're going to get into where we stand with some of the consolidation. Obviously, it was passed earlier this year. Where do we stand? We had some discussion about a potential advisory referendum that was voted down recently. Is that still possible? We'll just try to get some information out there for you to digest here as we continue here on this Tuesday. I'm Chad Holmes. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Fight to make ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people?
Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, we are with the school board president, Wausau School District, Jim Boucher. And again, thank you for spending some time coming on over here today. Let's talk a little bit about what's been such a major issue in recent months, the school consolidation plan that was passed by the board earlier this year. One of the, I think, the aspects that folks have talked about was maybe some, I know there's a disagreement because I've talked to folks who feel like the transparency, it's happened way too fast. And then there's others, I mean, that I deal with working within the schools. Hey, we've been talking about this for a long time. We've had meetings about this. Mm-hmm. People had the opportunity to be involved. As we sit here right now on April the 25th, 2023, the process to get to this point, do you feel like the transparency, the opportunity for involvement by everybody, all the stakeholders within the district, it has been at the level that you would have wanted it to be?
Well, I think from taking a look at it from a coaching point of view, you're always looking at how might you have done something a little bit better. And I think there's always room for learning from those mistakes. You learn more from mistakes than you do from victory. Uh-huh. And you hear a lot of people talk about that. I don't know if there have been mistakes made. I don't know if there have been a lot of victories. I just know from my point of view, taking a look at the situation that we have, it's an economic, academic thing. And I'm looking at what's the best for our taxpayers and what's the best for our students, because we want our students to have choices. We want our students to be well-educated. We want to give them every option possible with some definition, obviously. You can't have everything, but we want our students to have choices. We want our parents and families to have choices. And so by looking at this from an economic point of view is very important from also the taxpayer. You know, by consolidating, will that save money? Will that prevent us from having to put more money out in the future? Those are the types of things that we are very aware of and very cognizant about, and we want to be on top of that. So it is an economic thing, but academics. Now, are our students going to benefit from this? Those things are being laid out, have been laid out by our teachers, by our administrators. They've been identified even by community members who have been in these meetings that have taken a look at. So we're going to have more choices. So we're going to have IB and AP, and we're going to have automotives, and we're going to have welding, and we're going to have construction. Are we going to have all the things that Fab Lab has to present? Mm-hmm. And yes, those types of things can be attained within this consolidation. So academically, now I'm talking predominantly from the high school mm-hmm. level right. and secondary level. From the elementary level, I take a look at that, and I just admire elementary teachers, you know, because they are working with, you know, anywhere between 15 to 25 students all day. They're working with them at very young ages. I cannot even imagine teaching elementary. Matter of fact, I do a lot of subbing, and I sub at the secondary level, some middle school, but most of the time at the high school. And then I've been called to do some elementary, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I can handle that. So I have a lot of admiration there. But when you take a look at the enrollment factor and how many students we have lost in the last couple of decades, and I could go back 3-4 decades taking a look at how it has changed from mid-80s to now as well, and the decline started back then. So I look at everything that we can't keep everything the same and economically be efficient. So things have to be looked at. I've kind of rambled off off of that, but those are the two parts that I look at personally. Now, our board is made up of 9 board members. I'm one person of 9. Mm-hmm. I look at it a little differently from the way that others are looking at it, and they have different perspectives. That's what brings our community together through the elected officials, nonpartisan elected officials in this position, looking at local control and how we can move forward in a positive way.
Would you be able to explain, maybe, I mean, asking probably a complicated question in a straightforward way, how much of an impact on the economics the past plan will have as compared to the pathway that the district was heading on without this plan being passed? How big of a difference in the economics for the district is this going to be?
Well, and I keep on talking about that to the administration about the importance of getting that out, the economics on it. We had a pro forma that was given to us that was identifying if we sold two elementary schools over a 10-year period of time, we will have saved $40 million. And that would have been $40 million we would have had to have come up with if we would have kept everything the same. Mm-hmm. So consequently, if you take a look at that, and now you take it to three elementaries possibly, instead of keeping three, selling three, you know, is it going to be more? That's a little bit more for someone with the numbers in front mm-hmm. of them that could talk more about that. But that's how it's going to save us economically.
And it's going to be significant, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially with funding, the way funding is going to be, you know, we're starting our budget review, and we do a little bit every month. And Mr. Bob Tess puts that in front of us and gives us assumptions and taking a look at if this happens at the state level and legislators decide to do this for the student, the pupil limit, the funding for pupils, if this happens, we get this. If this doesn't happen, we won't get this, and we'll have to figure out how we're going to continue to move forward without that funding.
The consolidation issue is something that's not unique to Wausau right now. I saw an article just recently. La Crosse is discussing. They're having some. They've actually tried
there's
to do
La Crosse, it. There's La Crosse. There's Superior. There's Green Bay. There's Madison. I don't think there is a community talking with directors from Wisconsin Association of School Boards this past weekend in our meeting. I don't think there's an area of the state of Wisconsin where consolidation is not being talked about. Mm-hmm. Consolidation is also not just being talked about when in the districts themselves, but we are starting to see in the state of Wisconsin that districts are starting to look at, should they consolidate with other districts? We have 421 districts in the state of Wisconsin. With 421 districts in the state, think about the funding coming out of that state pie that we are mm-hmm. supposed to get split among 421 school districts. Neighboring Minnesota has approximately 224 school districts. They're funding 224 school districts. And the students, I think they have more students over there than what we have here. So you use comparatives. What would it be like? And would we get more money if we had mm-hmm. less districts? So there's a lot of discussion. I'm just throwing that out
right.
as being, those are discussion points that the people in our state are looking at now.
One of the major issues that has been brought up by, I think, some folks concerned about it is the transportation aspect. I know you've been looking a lot at that. You've been getting reports at your meetings as well. Is there reason for concern? Is there going to be a major issue once, again, there's a lot of projecting right now because it's still fairly early in the process, but how concerned are you about it? Do you feel like it's something that's going to be worked out? Because in addition to this, I know there was this general issues with transportation, not only with the schools, but within the community in the past year or so. How big of an issue is that right now?
Well, I think busing is always going to be an issue. Having been a superintendent of a district that had 810 square miles to bus students from and around, I was always in the midst of some problems with busing.
Real quickly, there's always a reminder about that whenever I do a game up at Lakeland. They have that big map yeah. near the field, which is incredible. I don't know how you folks up there dealt with such a large area. I mean, that would be a documentary in itself, I think. But I'm continuing.
And that's another topic down the road, possibly. But that was a big problem. And I look at our situation. You know, I learn from other places, and I grab what I can that would be beneficial for us in this area. That, you know, there's always going to be a problem, because there was busing problems back in the mid 80s when my kids were walking to neighborhood schools and that mm-hmm. and the busing situation then was not good. We're always going to have busing problems. I think you have to look at the problems that you have right now, deal with those, and just know that there are going to be problems 5 years from now, 2 years from now. There's going to be a busing problem next year, possibly. I mean, who knows? You just have to be ready with some solutions for those problems that may occur.
Also, recently, there was a vote about a non-binding referendum in a year about this. There was, of course, the petition that was put out as well. I think about 1,500 people had signed it. I believe you voted for the non-binding referendum. Could you talk a little bit about what the district is trying to do? Because I think beyond that, there's a thought that a hope to try to, again, continue to bring people together, bring the information to the people in the district in order to, get more support, to try to bring to get people together in terms of seeing what you and your other board members see in terms of the reasons behind this. Could you kind of put that together in terms of what you're going to try to accomplish here in the next year to try to, even without the non-binding referendum, but other ways of trying to bring people together?
Well, I think the biggest thing is communication, and that's what you're constantly working on. As an administrator, as a teacher, as a board member, we're always constantly looking at how can we communicate these situations so they are transparent. I take a look at that idea of getting out to the community, getting more information in. I'm a big one on getting as much information possible and make a decision based on the amount of information I've received. And it's been as a teacher, as a coach, as an administrator, as an athletic director, principal, I've always wanted to hear from other people before I make a decision because they have different points of view. And different points of view are very healthy. As a coach, I never wanted assistant coaches that were the same train of thought. I wanted a different train of thought because I wanted them to add and not just simply say yes. So I look at everything else in the same aspect, Chad. I want to get a lot of information before I make a decision.
What are you hearing lately? I mean, because it's been a few months now, do you feel like people are getting that information, are able to understand the issues involved in this decision, which obviously is a massive decision for the district?
Well, I think the administration is doing a good job in getting out and speaking with community members and the different service clubs around the community. They have been out there working with them, letting them know what's the process, what's happened, where we're going. Things will change as we continue to move down this road. I mean, everything's not going to be perfect from the very beginning. Change is inevitable, and I've always said the only constant we have in education is change, and we need to be ready to embrace it, move forward, and how do we get better at what we're doing? So that'd be my response to that.
And you're so right. I mean, we were talking off the air about just how much has changed within the classrooms, let alone facilities and everything else. I mean, it truly has been revolutionary just since either one of us have been going through hallways as students. And the change really is pretty amazing. And it just shows, again, how much everybody, as you said, from the teachers right through everybody else, has to stay on top of so many different things.
Well, I kind of laugh when you say that because I think about the diddle machine for creating copies. And the first thing that we as students back in the 70s would do when we received that diddle paper, we'd smell the ink. Well, and that's the same type of thing that we still do today, but there's no smell to it. Yep. Things change.
They sure do. Well, again, really appreciate you coming on by to update us on what's going on with the board. We encourage people to stay in touch with the board. Watch even the streams on YouTube. They're posted every meeting. You can watch them live or after the fact as well. But WASA School Board President Jim Boucher, again, thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Chad. Thank you.
We're going to take a quick time out and then come back with more. I'm Chad Holmes. Time is coming up on 3:48, Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
been looking for the map that leads me home. I've been stumbling on good hearts turned to stone. The road of good intentions is gone dry as a bone. We take care of our own. We take care of our own. Wherever this flag's flown, we take care of our own. From Chicago.
Hey, and Chad Holmes back with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It is 3:51 again, thanks to Wausau School Board President Jim Boucher for joining us here in studio today. It is April the 25th, day number 115 of 2023. There are 250 days left in the year. Taking a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. 404 BC. So that means 2,427 years ago today, the Peloponnesian War ended as Athens surrendered to Sparta. On this date in 1507, a world map produced by German cartographer Martin Waldseemüller contained the first recorded use of the term America in honor of the Italian navigator Amerigo Vespucci. On this date in 1859, ground was broken for the Suez Canal. In 1862, on the 25th of April, during the Civil War, a Union fleet commanded by Flag Officer David G. Farragut captured the city of New Orleans. On this date in 1898, the United States Congress declared war on Spain. The 10-week conflict resulted in an American victory. In 1901, New York Governor Benjamin Barker Odell Jr. signed an automobile registration bill which imposed a 15-mile-per-hour speed limit on highways. On the 25th of April, 1915, during World War II, Allied soldiers invaded the Gallipoli Peninsula in an unsuccessful attempt to take the Ottoman Empire out of the war. On this date in 1945, delegates from some 50 countries gathered in San Francisco to organize the United Nations. In 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope was deployed in orbit from the Space Shuttle Discovery. It was later discovered that the telescope's primary mirror was flawed, requiring the installation of corrective components to achieve optimal focus. Sounds like somebody needed glasses. On this date in 1992, the series finales of Who's the Boss, Growing Pains, and MacGyver all aired on the same night on ABC. On this date as well, in 1992, Islamic forces in Afghanistan took control of most of the capital of Kabul following the collapse of the communist government. Hard to believe, but because I remember this 21 years ago today, back on the 25th of April, 2002, Lisa Left Eye Lopez of the Grammy-winning trio TLC died in an SUV crash in Honduras. She was just 30 years old. On this date in 2019, former Vice President Joe Biden entered the Democratic presidential race, declaring the fight against Donald Trump to be a battle for the soul of this nation. And 1 year ago today, Russia unleashed a string of attacks against rail and fuel installations deep inside Ukraine, far from the front lines of Moscow's new eastern offensive, in a bid to thwart Ukrainian efforts to marshal supplies for the fight. The U.S. moved to rush more weaponry to Ukraine and said the assistance from the Western allies was making a difference in the two-month-old war. Also, 1 year ago today, Elon Musk reached an agreement to buy Twitter for roughly $44 billion, promising a more lenient touch to policing content on the social media platform where he, then the world's richest person, had made a habit of promoting his interests and attacking his critics to his tens of millions of followers. Some folks that are celebrating their birthday today, actor Al Pacino turns 83 years old. Rock musician Stu Cook of Creedence Clearwater Revival is 78. Yesterday was another member of CCR had a birthday, and today it's Stu Cook. Also, actor Talia Shire played Adrian in the Rocky films. Talia Shire turning 78 years old today. Also, rock musician Steve Ferrone of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers is 73. Actor Hank Azaria plays many of the voices on The Simpsons, 59 years old today. Rock singer Andy Bell of Erasure is 59. Also, TV personality Jane Clayson is 56. Actor Renee Zellweger, 54 years old today. Actor Jason Lee turns 53. Also, actor Jason Wiles is 53 years old. Actor Sarah Paxton turns 35. Actor-producer Allison Snyder is 27, and actor Jaden Ray is 14. And if you out there celebrating your birthday today, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Well, that will wrap things up today here on the program. Thanks again to Jim Boucher from the Wausau School Board for coming on the program and talking about what's going on the board. Coming up tomorrow at 2:15, we will be joined by a special guest, another civic media talk show host, as we'll be talking to Earl Ingram. The Earl Ingram Show airs on civic media every weekday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. You can listen on the civic media app and also listen to a podcast at bowfallsradio.com and click on shows. He is also a co-host along with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can hear on weekends here on Bow Falls Radio. So Earl Ingram, we're going to talk again about some of the issues that he has seen in the Milwaukee area, some of the similarities of the issues that we have in the big urban areas and some of the rural areas. So Earl Ingram tomorrow at 2:15. Don't forget as well, I am heading off right as we speak. Once I get this microphone turned off, I'm hitting the road, heading to Marathon for Marathon High School Baseball. Battle for first place in the Merrillwood Conference South Division. The Red Raiders taking on the Stratford Tigers. That game can be heard live online, bowfallsradio.com, and clicking on the Sports 2 stream. Again, below the listing of all the programs that are currently either on or coming up, right below it, it'll say Sports Stream 2, Sports Stream 3. Click on Sports Stream 2, hit start, and you'll be able to hear me from Marathon Live starting at 4:30 for Marathon and Stratford. That game will also be heard on a tape delay basis at approximately 7 o'clock tonight here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9. Coming up next from 4 till 6, it is the Devil's Advocates. That's coming up next. Thanks for joining me. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.